This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Good morning, Memphis. This is not Jeff Calkins. This is Drew Hill with the Daily Memphian as well. As you can probably guess, Jeff Calkins is in Seattle right now, preparing for a big day for the Memphis Tigers tomorrow. We have a lot to talk to him about very clearly. We'll get the scoop from Seattle. We'll see how he likes the city. We'll see what he thinks of the Tigers. We'll see who he thinks on the Tigers might play in the game tomorrow. So we will talk to him at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, we're going to talk to my other colleague, Chris Harrington. Chris Harrington and I host the Daily Memphian's Memphis Grizzlies podcast every week. So you can go check that out as well. So it'll be good to talk to Chris again. We have a lot to break down there, and we'll get to that in just a moment. We're going to play some Right or the Right trivia today. Isn't that right, Jeffrey?
Indeed, Drew. We've got four tickets to Monday night's Battle of the Birds, the St. Louis Cardinals in town taking on the Memphis Redbirds before they will begin the season opener on Wednesday.
There you go. I learned a lot, actually, yesterday listening to the segment on Battle of the Birds. Did not know that they were one of only two teams that still does that. So
yeah, I didn't realize that either. I thought that was still fairly commonplace.
Yeah. Well, it does help. The proximity helps.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, the proximity definitely makes that a possibility. So big show today. Lots to get to. But I want to start with the fact that I woke up this morning, Jeffrey, feeling entirely conflicted. You know why? Because today is a wonderful day. Because today, Jeffrey, people like you wake up feeling like it's Christmas morning.
Absolutely.
You're going down the list of games. You're picking out your favorite teams. You're filling out your brackets. You're probably going to be sad that your bracket's busted by 3 o'clock today. But you know what? You're going to soak in every minute of those games. I hope for all of you out there you get, and I'm sorry to those in charge, as little work done as possible.
Yeah,
today.
Absolutely.
Watch the games.
It's all the managers and all the bosses out there.
Yeah.
Let it go today.
Tell them Drew and Jeffrey said,
yeah.
Today's a day for hoops, all right? That's
go,
what today
go full
is all
Elsa
about.
Right now. Just let it go.
So obviously, really fun day ahead. We got games starting at what time, Jeffrey?
11:15 in your hometown.
Yeah.
No, sorry. It involves your hometown team in Lexington.
Yes. Actually, I lived in both places.
Okay.
Both in Lexington and Louisville. By the way, did not grow up a Louisville Cardinals fan.
I knew that. Yes.
Grew up
despising
Louisville Cardinals. even though I lived in Louisville.
There's a lot of those.
Creighton and Louisville will get the true first round of the tournament underway just before noon, so it's going to be really fun. But what was not fun was watching the Memphis Grizzlies last night. And look, there's so many directions we could have taken the show off the top, right? We've got Jeff on today. Everybody's excited about the Tigers. I can't wait to watch the Tigers play tomorrow. I think we've got some good nuggets that we can get to about 5-12 matchups and favorites and underdogs and all that sort of stuff. But we'd be a little crazy if we didn't come in here and talk about what a frankly pathetic performance that was by the Grizzlies last night. So let's just get this out of the way. Let's get it over with right now so we can move on from it, at least until we get to Chris.
Jeff's probably going to want to talk about it.
Jeff is probably going to want to talk about it. But I'm going to try to avoid it with Jeff because I don't want to have to talk about
good
how
luck.
Sad that was last night. And that's exactly what it was. It was really, really sad. You know, there was one play in particular that I really think sort of surmised the way that this Grizzlies season has just absolutely come undone.
The old microcosm play?
The microcosm play. Do you know which play I'm thinking of?
Well, to me, there's a lot because I didn't actually think of it as one play, but I thought of it as the start of the fourth quarter. They actually got stops. I mean, how long? I felt like we went either side. It felt like we went like 4 minutes of basketball without an actual made shot. But like to me, that was it. It's like, all right, Jaren's back on the floor. They started getting stops, and you realize like, okay, they can't make this happen.
Grizzlies shot, before I get to my microcosm play, Grizzlies shot 3-for-23 as a team in the fourth quarter last night.
It didn't even feel that good.
They lost to Portland. We haven't even mentioned this. Lost to Portland, who's under 500, 115-99. They shot 3-for-23 in the fourth quarter. Jaren was not good for most of the game. He shot a very poor percentage, took some bad fouls, was in foul trouble. He missed several shots in the fourth quarter. It wasn't until 2 minutes left in the game.
0-for-5 in the fourth, by the way.
Yeah, 0-for-5 for Jaren.
By the way, of your 3-for-23, not a single starter made a shot in the fourth quarter.
Not one.
Literally zero.
Not one. And in addition to that, the Blazers were ready. Like, the Grizzlies had waved the white flag and emptied the bench with 2 minutes to go. They still had one made field goal in the fourth quarter at that point. One. And that includes smoking a bunch of layups.
Yep.
Like, just looking completely disengaged, looking like they didn't care, frankly, at the end of that game. And Jay Huff makes a garbage time three. Marvin Bagley puts in a garbage time layup. They finish with 10 points in the fourth quarter. The record, previous franchise low for a quarter, was 8, which happened in a game in 2019 in November. So, like, early season stuff. Like, for that to be happening at this stage of the season, in a game where you clearly needed it, after losing to Sacramento, in a game where you're looking at a point in the season where you're looking up in the standings and you're trying to figure out where you can finish and you're trying to position yourself in a way where you can get home court advantage in the playoffs, and to put out that performance that they put out last night, I can't blame the fans at all for being incredibly frustrated. And this thing is really coming apart to the microcosm play. This is the play I really think can summarize the way that the season has gone since the All-Star break. The Grizzlies are down by 9. There's about 25 seconds left in the first quarter against Portland. They're down by 9. They get the ball to Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren Jackson Jr. holds the ball, drains most of the clock to try to take the last shot of the quarter. He goes to the basket. He splits two defenders the way he's done all season long. He gets to his left hand. He puts the layup up. He makes the shot. And you're like, okay, man, it took Jaren a minute to get into this game, but that looked like Jaren. And hopefully that can be the spark, right?
Real stabilizing moment.
Do you want to know what happened after that Jaren Jackson Jr. layup?
Tell me what happened right after that.
There were still 4 seconds remaining in the quarter. The Grizzlies stopped playing the game with 4 seconds to go in the first quarter. They just didn't play the rest. They thought that was the last shot of the quarter, that they had held it, that the Blazers were just going to toss some lollipop up there from half court. No. Blazers just grabbed the ball, threw an inbounds pass, threw another pass right down the floor, scored a wide-open layup, and all of that work by Jaren was for nothing because they fell asleep in the middle of the game. That's a problem, right? That's a lack of attention on defense.
And to your point, like that wasn't the only time that they just got like a breakaway, wide-open, people-not-getting-back layup or dunk. I mean, you're 100% right. That was the theme of the night, was just complete lack of effort.
Yes. And for it to happen right now has got to be so frustrating. Inside the locker room, in the fan base. I mean, it is. Like, you could see it. The body language at these games is not what it was early in the season. And so the other thing that occurred to me that I found myself thinking about last night was the column I wrote from Media Day, okay? The column I wrote from Media Day was themed around who are these Memphis Grizzlies? We're about to find out. Who are these Memphis Grizzlies? We had discussed all day with all of the players and the coaches. We had discussed all summer that we couldn't figure out who these Grizzlies were solidly until we saw them on the court. We had no idea. They had just gone through a season where they had a ton of injuries. You know, they had slipped in the standings. There were other teams that were young and that were emerging. We had no idea where this team was going to end up, if we're being honest. We thought they had a chance to be good, but we didn't know that. So the theme of Media Day was trying to figure out who the heck the Memphis Grizzlies are. Are they an actual contender? Are they a team that can win 50 games? Are they a team that slipped so much last season due to all these injuries that they're not going to have the right continuity and they're not going to live up to the billing, right? And I just found myself last night thinking about the fact that we still don't know who these Memphis Grizzlies are. We still don't know. Like, there's a lot of people that understandably don't believe this team's going to get out of the first round right now based on the way that they've looked and all that. And they might tell you, well, that's who the Grizzlies are. But that's not the Grizzlies that we saw in November and December that was running teams off the floor. And so we've reached a point in the season where you're not tanking. It's too late. I know there's going to be a lot of questions about a coaching change. I understand that. But even if they made a change, in a hypothetical situation where they made a change, you're not making a change this late that's consequential. All the assistants on the staff, they're not going to be running different stuff, right? Like not at this point of the season. So that's not exactly meaningful. And so the question remains, can they pull it together? And there's a lot of doubt about that. There's an awful lot of doubt about that. So it's pretty hard to figure out who these Grizzlies are, even on March the 20th. We're in the same spot we were at the beginning of the season. It's just, let me ask you this, Jeffrey.
All right.
Is it more frustrating that the Grizzlies are sitting where they are in the standings? Or is it based on your preseason expectations? Or is it more frustrating the way that they got here?
I think it's the way that they got here, because if I would have told you at the beginning of the year, when you're saying we're trying to figure out what this team's going to be, if I would have told you that they're 43-27 and they're sitting at fifth in the standings, you would have said, all right, they're fine. The problem, though, is it's exactly how they got there, because as you mentioned, part of the early season success was twofold. Number one, Ja hadn't gotten hurt. Ja hadn't dislocated his hip yet, and I thought at the beginning of the year, that's the best Ja Morant basketball that I've ever seen. And I know his numbers weren't overwhelming everyone, but when you were like when you went to the games and you watched the control that he had and just moving defenders with his eyes and just the feel for the game, he was just in complete command. And then he hurts his hip, and since then, it's been this roller coaster of there are nights where you're feeling good about him, and then I think the other part of it is you just can't ignore, all right, every time that they get an opportunity against a good team, they usually, like, crap down their leg. Like, I know they've had good wins.
But that's not what we talked about in December.
No,
they had
but,
beaten the Celtics.
Right.
Like, that wasn't. Maybe they hadn't had that opportunity, enough of those opportunities.
I think that was a big part of it. I think the other aspect of this is the way that the schedule broke with injuries to other teams, with like it was a pretty soft schedule to start.
It was.
And so to assert, if you're just a fan and you're watching the games, you're sitting there going like, okay, they look really good. Because the game that stands out to me, and I know this doesn't really matter, but in context, it was a game that stood out. Remember the Cup game at Dallas? And yep. Dallas had the building was full, and it was a rocking, like it was like a really good atmosphere for something that early in the season. And you knew like, okay, maybe Dallas isn't like Oklahoma City, but you knew this was a test.
Yep.
And especially on that given night, you knew that was high-level basketball. And for three quarters, you're sitting there going, all right, like, let's go. This could be a really, really fun year. And then the fourth quarter happens. And then you're left searching, like, how am I supposed to feel about this? And I feel like that has been kind of the theme of the years, like, how am I supposed to feel about this? Because while they're clearly spiraling, like, I don't think that's debatable.
No, not at this point.
If I do tell you we get to the first round series, forget the matchup. I'm just saying they get to the first round series, though, and Ja's back healthy. Jaren's there. Dez is there. Brandon's there. Santi's there. Luke is there, healthy. You still kind of like your chances.
I know. That's
like,
the
that's
thing.
The problem. That's what makes this so frustrating.
That's the thing.
Because you don't want to be the guy that's ignoring what you're watching. I don't want this to be like the gif of the dog with the house on fire. And it's like saying, this is fine. Like, I'm not saying that this is all fine, but I still believe the bigger issue, and there's a lot of them, I still think the bigger issue right now is availability.
Absolutely. And I think, like, to your point, there is a pathway to a positive finish this season.
Sure.
You know, I think if the Grizzlies win a first round series, maybe it's not what everybody thought Memphis was capable of in December. But if you said that at the beginning of the season, as I said, where were we?
Yep.
We didn't know what the Grizzlies were. We really didn't know. You know, there were some people that said that they were going to miss the playoffs entirely. There was other people picking them to finish second, right?
Yep. There was a lot of range.
So I think you're right. I think the injuries are a big part of this. And if those guys are healthy, I still think Memphis has premier top-end talent in the NBA. There are not other teams in the West that have as many good players as the Grizzlies. And look at what the Cavs are doing without, by the way, having like an MVP-level candidate.
Sure.
You can win that way. Everybody believes the Cavs are capable of getting to the finals. So the question for the Grizzlies is, are they going to pull it together? Can they pull it together? Can Ja get healthy? Can they look more engaged? Can Taylor Jenkins get them organized? Because that, listen, Taylor is partly responsible for what happened last night. You know, if not mostly responsible. Because you just can't have the team look that disengaged in a game that you need. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think a lot of this is going to depend on Ja. Ja's now missed two straight games with hamstring soreness, left hamstring soreness. He was back on Twitter last night.
Yeah, he was.
He retweeted a tweet by Jalen Johnson that said, "I just want a hoop man," with a broken heart emoji.
Yep.
He also responded to a Grizzlies
quote tweet. So it's at Rent Free Grizzly, and the quote tweet was, "This is clear evidence that at John Morant wants to play and is not being allowed to. Shambolic organization." The reply, "Clear evidence you think you know some, like everybody else, and be wrong." That from John Morant.
So there you have it. Ja's essentially saying, no, this is not them holding me out when I want to play. That's what he's saying.
No, I mean, I'll even go so far as to say, like, if you tell me it's one way or the other and it has to be black and white, I think the organization's probably frustrated. And I always go back to the game. It was the Oklahoma City game, right, where Ja post-game said, "I don't even know if I should have been out there." Because he said, you were in the scrum. I have never seen a situation where a guy says that and then the following day isn't even on the injury report.
I have no doubt that Ja's playing injured this season. Zero doubt.
Listen, I've been on this camp for a while.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
Your eyes tell you he doesn't look right.
I do think that on a game-to-game basis, he probably does feel different, right?
Like, let's be clear. He dislocated his hip.
Yeah, he did.
It was an injury that when we're looking at all the sports media docs, or, you know what I mean, the Twitter doc, they're like, this isn't really something you see in basketball. This is something you see in football, and it usually requires surgery. So I want to be very clear about that. And then clearly he's had labrum surgery, and he hurt his shoulder again. Like, I don't think that the injury part is a nothing part.
Yeah, right. Yes. I can't say for certain whether or not you're 100% right or wrong in terms of where the frustration lies. I gather that it lies both ways.
I think
the Grizzlies want him out on the court. And believe me, Ja wants to play.
And I think that's what happens when you start losing. Everybody's just mad at each other.
The frustration is at an all-time peak during the season right now, at least online.
Yep.
Which is what I travel to all these games. But
I think this has gone. There's certain things that with the Grizzlies that you can tell is an online argument, but is not representative. Like, for instance, like, let's use the coaching example. The Taylor Jenkins has to go was a much more online discussion in really up until, honestly, I think, like, now. And now I think the majority of the fan base is just sitting there going, like, man, it's like, what are you? If you're Taylor Jenkins, like, we kind of think you're culture guy. And what was damning about last night to me is the fact that for the most part, even when they sucked, like last year, they still played hard. The hallmark of this year is, like, how many games have you sat there and gone, like, they played hard? Like, to me, when we had the Cam Spencer game against the Suns, like, what was painfully obvious is, I believe Lamar played that game too, right?
Yep.
So you had Cam Spencer and Lamar. Cam, a two-way guy. Lamar wasn't even on the team a month ago. And you're looking like, man, those guys are, like, playing the hardest. And there was a clear level of intensity and care. And if you're Taylor and you're culture guy and you're, like, I feel like one of the consistent frustrations that fans have, I think rightfully so with this team, is you turn on the game and it looks like they're just going through the motions. And they've even mentioned it. Like, Santi, that post-game, talked about, like, we basically just think that, like we go through the motions and we think we'll figure it out in the fourth quarter. Well, that's kind of what, like, last night felt like. And then last night, the difference was, like, they didn't even look like they were going to try to figure out in the fourth quarter.
I agree. When you talk about playing hard, this team hasn't provided the same amount of moments that past teams have where you just feel like Memphis is winning a game purely on effort.
Yep.
Because it's really hard to watch the team play and feel like they're putting forth maximum effort when they're routinely giving up 70 points and a half the way that they have.
I mean,
you know,
true.
Especially over these last, they're 7-9 since the All-Star break. There's been a lot of games where they just didn't show up defensively for a stretch of the game, and it was really, really costly. So I agree with you on that. I don't know what to make of the team, because if they do put it all together, they're perfectly capable, and we've seen flashes of that. We just saw it against Miami. So I think part of what's frustrating.
Let's go back to that Miami game, because Jaren was awesome that game. But didn't you also feel like Miami? Like, I just remember looking at Spoelstra, and Spoelstra was looking like, I can't do anything with this team. I thought it was more about Miami than it was the Grizzlies that night. And, like, it was the perfect microcosm.
Maybe it was.
The Grizzlies, the previous night against the Cavs, Ja was great. Everyone else stunk, and they got blown out. And then, hey, here comes Miami to town. All right, let's feast. Like, it's, you know, I used to just make the joke, like, it's the Hugh Freeze offenses that I've covered when it was at Ole Miss. Like, if they go up against Furman, they're going to put 70 up on you. You get Alabama and Tuscaloosa, and they got no one to block. They get shut out.
I think that the reasoning behind the frustration, though, more so than anything else, is just madness occurs when the same thing goes wrong over and over and over again. And that's the point that the Grizzlies have now hit post All-Star break. That, again, they keep giving up 70-point first halves. It's hard to stay in basketball games when you give up 38 and 40-point quarters. You know, they keep having games where they look disengaged and they have to try to pull it all together in the fourth quarter. They keep leaving three-point shooters wide open. They keep having performances where they just can't hit anything from three-point range, which, you know, I think Jalen Wells is a tremendous player, but he really struggled last night.
Well, and that's
got a bright future.
That's
been the case. And so that's what insanity is. It's when you have – that's what drives people nuts, is when the same things go wrong over and over and over again. And I think last night we really hit a peak there with that. And so the frustration's obviously at an all-time high. I'm not going to say that they can't pull it together. Even now, I feel like that's still premature.
Well, I think that's – so there's a couple
of
things.
If you have doubt, it's really hard to blame you today.
So with your madness example, I'm not saying I disagree, but I think it's more simple than that. I think we as fans, all that we really ask for, just play hard. You get to play a game. You're getting millions of dollars. Even the rookies are out there making more money than all of us. Just play hard. You play a game for a job. Like I think that's where the frustration is, because now it all blends into one another. Like when you're talking about, like, part of the reason why are you giving up 40 points and a quarter, 70 points and a half? They're not playing hard. And that's, I think, the core frustration that everyone has. But to your larger point, this is kind of an NBA issue. It feels like the Grizzlies are kind of taking an approach organizationally that we've seen some teams have, which is, hey, man, like, yeah, this is like, you want to get as high as you can in the standings. But, like, that's not what this is about. It's about the playoffs. And it feels like they've made an organizational commitment to, we don't really care where we finish. It's all about getting to the playoffs healthy. And my thing is, that's a choice you can make. It better work out.
Yeah. But again, yes, maybe that is a choice that they are making. Maybe they're being extra careful with Ja.
I don't think it's debatable.
But I also think that Ja, clearly, based on what he's saying online and
no, I think
heard,
Ja's hurt too. I'm with you.
He's dealing with something.
But I also think it's at this point, it's not debatable.
Right.
They are overly cautious on injuries.
Yes, this late in the season, yes. That's what they've decided. That's an organizational path. That was something that Taylor Jenkins laid out in Los Angeles before we went to the All-Star break. He said number one priority the rest of the year is getting this team healthy into the postseason. They're going to try to do that. Who knows where they're going to be by the time they get there. You look at the path ahead. Still got a game against the Clippers. That's coming Friday at 9:30.
Yeah, they've matched up well against
them. Got a game against Golden State. Still got a game against Boston. Still got a game against Denver. Still got a game against OKC.
The thing that I thought was alarming about last night is when you looked at, like a week ago, I made the point that they had six tough games left, six easy games, and then there was like five in between, kind of the middle. If you just won the six games and you kind of took care of business at home, you were probably going to finish no worse than third. Well, last night was one of those games that you should have taken care of business. Because the other thing is, as bad as it was, like to your point about the fourth quarter, the Grizzlies are sitting there waving the white flag, but it was almost like Portland was like, y'all really aren't going to come win this game? Like the way the fourth quarter started, the Blazers were begging to lose. Grizzlies just couldn't literally do it.
So we'll see where they finish. You know, I do wonder if
last night was the first time that I considered, because I think Jeff's been doing the crazy talk of them finishing sixth. I thought the floor was five. Last night was the first time that I considered the worst case scenario is possible because they just look like they quit.
It's certainly a possibility. We're prisoners of the moment right now.
Yeah.
Everybody is. I don't think there's a lot of positivity surrounding this current state of the Grizzlies. But you know what the good thing is? The good thing about having these difficult games ahead is if you win a few of them,
changes everyone. Like, we will flip.
Everyone will come back.
We're a plastic bag in the wind.
Jeff will be back in the studio, and we'll be talking about how great they were and how hard they played in a win over the Celtics or the Nuggets or the Warriors.
Lakers.
We just feel a long way from that right now. We feel a long, long way away from that right now.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to Jeff about it when we come back. He is in Seattle preparing for the Memphis Tigers NCAA tournament run. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff on 92.9 FM ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Drew filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN, but we now have Jeff with us. Jeff, we are, I got to be honest, Jeff, we're going through it this morning. We're going through it this morning. I stayed up until midnight to watch that performance.
Oh boy, did we.
I texted you, Jeff, and I know that you were probably in the middle of travel. Just feel blessed. I hope you're feeling blessed this morning.
Yeah, I caught the end. I caught the fourth quarter, which was the most dismal. It's just unbelievable. First of all, I do want to say it's appropriate that you're in today because, you know, there you and between you and Chris, you should be able to diagnose everything that's wrong with the Grizzlies. And it really is the perfect team to put together. Because, my God, that was this really does feel like a collapse now. And, you know, we often ask on this show whether the sky is falling. And Jeffrey often accuses me or us or the general sports world of overreacting to, you know, treating like it's football season as opposed to a long basketball season. But the other day I asked the question, theoretically, was it possible for the Grizzlies to fall into the play-in? And Jeffrey, I think you said at that point the odds were 7.5%. Isn't that what you said?
I don't even know if it was that high, but I did tell Drew last segment that this is last night was the first time that I considered whatever you view as worst case scenario, it's on the table. That team has quit.
It's been rough. And like, yeah, you said diagnose. I don't even know if we have a way to diagnose it, right? There was one play, Jeff, you missed it. And I mentioned this in the opening. There was one play that summarized the exact, I guess, performance of the Grizzlies since the All-Star break last night. There was one particular play that I think told the entire story. And I could have just wrote about that one play. And everybody could have gotten all that they need to know about what happened in the game last night. The Grizzlies are down 9 in the first quarter. There's 30 seconds to go. They're 25 seconds to go. They're holding the ball for the last shot. Jaren Jackson Jr. gets it at the top of the key. He holds on to it for 20 seconds of the shot clock. He drives to the basket, splits two defenders, flips up a layup with his left hand, and scores. Everybody's like, okay, all right, that was like Jaren looking engaged, and that was true Jaren Jackson. That's what we've seen all season long. Maybe they'll figure it out now. That was momentum. Except for the fact that they forgot that there was 4 seconds left in the first quarter, and Portland just inbounds the ball, throws one pass down the floor, and they score a wide-open layup to match it. And it's just like, it's asleep at the wheel stuff. That's what it has felt like for several games. And to me, you know, that's the problem more than anything else. It's the fact that they haven't looked engaged in these games. Ja's not healthy. Santi hasn't been healthy. You know, that's part of it. But that team was plenty capable of beating Portland last night, and they just didn't show up. So I'm starting to get, I'm coming to the dark side, Jeff. Unfortunately, you're dragging me into the are the Grizzlies going to be able to avoid the play-in conversation? I think what today they are now
three and a half
still. Ahead of the
Clippers. Well, the Timberwolves lost last night. That was helpful. I really do. Like, what I am focused on, I'm no longer looking at the W's and L's of the teams above them. I'm looking at the W's and L's of the teams below them, because, you know, you look at the next, obviously you got Utah, but then you've got the Clippers, OKC, you got the Lakers, you got Boston, you got Golden State. So, and if you compare that, for example, to Golden State's schedule over the next few, would Golden State is in sixth. I think there's a very reasonable chance that by the time Golden State is in comes to Memphis, they will have already caught the Grizzlies. And so you wonder what the hell is the issue. I mentioned diagnosing. Some of it seems like roster construction, right? You failed to supplement the core with productive wings. The wings that you did settle on got hurt, and maybe that's bad luck, not roster construction. You moved on from Marcus Smart. You moved on from Jake LaRavia, both of whom might be useful in a moment like last night. Like, you can imagine that. You ended up, you got two rookies, both who seem to have hit a wall. Jalen Wells can't shoot anymore, and Zach Edey got absolutely destroyed last night. So so there's roster construction issues. There's obviously injury issues with Ja, and also the year-long vibe issues with Ja. And then you've got deployment issues and coaching issues and whether they've quit on the entire enterprise issues. So I do think that this is as bleak a moment as we have seen in a long time. And you wonder, I mean, is the answer, Drew, for Ja to come rushing back to help stabilize things? You're obviously trying to balance, and I don't know, we don't know the state of his hamstring. Hamstrings are tricky. You're trying to balance having him, quote unquote, ready for the playoffs and being healthy. But at this point, it's also trying to salvage this thing.
Yeah, no, listen. That'd be great if Ja came back and was healthy for the postseason. But you're not turning this thing around unless you stop giving up freaking 70 points in the first half to these teams. Like, you're not turning it around. I don't care. Ja was amazing against the Cavs. Didn't matter because they didn't play defense, right? And some of the other problems that you already talked about continue to pop up. These teams are just putting Zach Edey in screen and roll at the beginning of the game every single time, right? And that's what you're going to see in the playoffs. So, and of course, Brandon Clark goes out with a knee last night. Last thing that they wanted because, you know, he's their switchable big, their switchable center that still has some balance that can rebound. I mean, the team's in a bad spot. And you know what? As I also mentioned earlier, I wrote a column at Media Day that was like, who are these Grizzlies? We really have no idea. And I just find it amazing that we're sitting here on March 20th and you're looking to the playoffs and you're going, they have Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr. But are they a bad team right now? I don't know what this team is. We're in the exact same spot, right? We are in the exact same spot now that we were at the beginning of the season, right?
Except we're in a worse spot because a lot of the answers that have come back, you know, at the beginning of the season, we had questions. And a lot of the answers that have come back negatively. You know, is Marcus Smart going to be the answer? No. Is Vince Williams going to be healthy and there's going to be that some version of the do-everything monster that he became last? No. Is Zach Edey the answer at center in his rookie year? No. Can Ja stay healthy and be productive? No. And so literally what questions that we had at the start of the year have been answered positively? Jaren, any question you want to ask about Jaren has been answered positively, and Dez, pretty much, right, have been answered positively. Obviously, Santi and Brandon, like, they have both, you know, acquitted themselves well. They've had their health issues, whatever else. But in terms of the supporting, including Ja, and then pretty much the entire sporting cast. I mean, Scottie Pippen's been, and he was, God bless him last night, busting his ass. But pretty much all the other questions have been answered negatively. So I think you're in a worse place, and including from the coaching staff, because what is the job, even if you consider the job of a head coach and a staff isn't necessarily just to win the most games in the regular season, it is to have a team with an identity and playing its best by the end of the season. And literally, this is a team with, at this point, no identity, playing its worst at the end of the season. So across the board right now, it looks like a crisis. And I think the fact that we can, that question that you asked before the season began, who are these guys? It's an indictment that we can't answer it. And that to the extent that we can't answer it, it's negatively.
No, I 100% agree with that. It is an indictment that we can't answer it at this point in the season. Yet I still can look at the playoffs and say the Grizzlies have three very good players. They have three all-star level players. And when those players are engaged, they're capable of winning a first-round playoff series. And when we entered the season, the expectations were all over the board. There was people that would pick the Grizzlies to finish second in the West. There were people that picked the Grizzlies to miss the playoffs. Nobody had any
idea. Hollinger had a miss in the playoffs. So let's not forget that. But here's the problem, Drew, is they have three very good players. And that's all they have. Well, that's not true, because they had Brandon and Santi. This is a point that I made. You weren't on the show. That they had those five players 3 years ago. You know, and who have they added since to help? Almost nobody. They had the three stars, and then Brandon and Santi 3 years ago. They went through three off seasons and essentially have added no help, not any particularly quality, distinguished, you know, tent pole help. People you can absolutely rely on. Yeah, at the fringes, you've got, you know, Scotty and. And, you know, you can have Luke hitting some shots, whatever. But basically, they've done nothing in the last three off seasons.
No, I mean, that's certainly why you can't rule out the idea that changes could be coming, right? Like, I think that's definitely. But the question is, can you do it? And it's harder to do now with all these guys under big contracts.
I got good news, though. Yeah. I got good news. Let's shift really quickly since I'm out here in Seattle. I saw Barack Obama's his bracket's out, and he has the Tigers going to the Sweet 16, as does Jay Billis have the Tigers going to the Sweet 16. So we can talk about disrespect all we want. And listen, you can find lots of people. It's obviously very fashionable to be picking against Memphis in this game. But there's also folks who have them going to the Sweet 16. I'm in this, I'm in downtown Seattle. I'm staying in a hotel, and I know, Drew, you now travel more than I do. I'm staying in a hotel whereby you wave your little card at the elevator to get on the elevator. There's no buttons in the elevator. It just takes you to your floor. You can't go to any other floor. It says, Jeff's on the 8th floor. We're going to take him to the 8th floor. I find that irritating. What if my mother was on the 7th floor or whatever else? Have you experienced these elevators before?
No. I've never seen one of those elevators before.
You get on, there's no buttons to push.
You know what else I'm out on? Did they give you a key card to your room?
Yeah, it's a key card.
I can't stand this new movement of, well, you download the Hilton app or you download the Marriott app and your key's on your phone. It's like, No,
I prefer that.
I can't stand, because I can never get it to work.
It forces you to get an app. It forces you to get their app. That's outrageous.
You should have their app anyway, Jeff, because you should want the points, you know?
Yeah, I don't travel enough to really keep.
But not only that, I can still get the points anymore by just having an account.
Yes, but here's my problem. I get the keys, then the minute I put the key in the same pocket as my phone, the key doesn't work. And then I go all the way up to the 14th floor or whatever.
That's definitely
and I got to go all the way back down to the lobby. And the Tigers are playing.
What are we today? Obviously, I'm about to head over. Well, not about to, because it's not quite 8 o'clock here. But shortly we'll be heading over to the arena. Colorado State interviews and practice first, then the Memphis interview and practice. And obviously the main thing we want to see is the walking wounded, right? We want to set our eyes on seeing, you know, what the point guard situation is going to be. Beyond that, Is there anything that I should ask Penny Hardaway or the players? Anything we need to know? It is, you know, it's this day is always an interesting day. It's always a sort of a fake practice. They just take half court shots or mess around, do whatever. There's not going to be a lot of Memphis fans here. That's this open practice is typically a place where you'd see Memphis fans out here. But since we're all the way out in Seattle, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot. But it'll be interesting. And I'll say this, it's just good to be back here. And, you know, last year was obviously a disaster. The year before was this massive opportunity. And you never know what opportunities lie in front of you. You know, this could be games where you're packed up and headed back on Saturday, or this could easily be, as both Jay Billis and Barack Obama seem to agree, a year when the Tigers get to the Sweet 16.
It's interesting that they are a 5 and they're an underdog to me still. And I know Penny talked about this already.
Yeah.
This is only the third time I saw this on a column from Action Network. This is only the third time that the 5 seed has been an underdog against the 12 seed. The bad news, both of those teams that were underdogs did lose the games. So Minnesota was a 1-point underdog against Middle Tennessee in 2017. They lost. And Syracuse was a 1.5-point underdog against Texas A&M in 2006. They lost. So Memphis is trying to write history here tomorrow.
Oh, and not only that, Memphis has been the 5 in a 5-12 games twice before. And both times, Memphis has lost, including my first year covering the Tigers. It was a very good Memphis team, a team that I would say was considered really all year long to be even so better than this Memphis team. It had Lorenzen Wright's last year, and at various points in that season, I think they were ranked as high as second in the country, and they ended up going to Albuquerque. And they played Drexel, and they were favorites over Drexel, and they lost convincingly. And that's one that just stings, one of the disastrous NCAA. Larry Finch's last, I mean, it set up Larry Finch's departure. He ended up, you know, the next year was his last year coaching, goes to the NCAA tournament, loses, and then literally by Selection Sunday the next year, he'd already been fired. They have to correct some things out here. I'm not sure. Does it qualify as quote unquote disrespect when Las Vegas thinks you're, makes you the underdog? I'm not sure that it does, because they're just running numbers. They're not hating on Memphis, don't you? I mean, is that true?
But if that's not the case, if you're Penny. You can call it disrespect all you want.
Yes, you can call it anything you want if you're Penny. All right, Chris Harrington, he will bring a level head to this entire Grizzlies discussion and insight. And so I'll be listening, Chris Harrington, next. Then we'll play Righter Than Right trivia. Before then, I do want to remind folks of this massive, ridiculous deal that RI Jewelers, that Robert Irwin Jewelers has. This Saturday in South Haven, an incredible sale at the South Lake Center for 6 hours only, starting at 10 a.m. 6 hours only, you get 60% off anything in the showcase. That includes engagement rings. So listen, it's wonderful to get engaged. They've got stunning rings over there. Even more wonderful when they are 60% off. Also earrings, necklaces, gemstones, brand name watches, all 60% off everything in the store. It's the South Haven location, the South Lake Center in South Haven, from 10 to 6 this Saturday. For complete details, go to rijewelers.com. Thanks, Drews. Thanks, Jeffrey. Carry on. Chris Harrington coming up next. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almacid. Almacid is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almacid. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.